So yeah, I guess we'll open with the big news. I'm back. I'm back.
John's
to the
back,
pod.
Everybody. Hello.
It was touch and go there. It was not touch and go.
He ate too many bricks of weed and woke up married in a field in Michigan.
I never should have smoked that shit. Now I'm married.
John is now a weed wife guy.
Certified stoner wife guy. Mm-hmm. Me and my wife ate too many edibles and fell off a boat in Lake Michigan. Can you help me Reddit?
I feel like in a certain way, Machine Gun Kelly seems like a stoner wife guy. Like I feel like him and Megan Fox just smoke tons of weed and they're like, I'm so high. I love you so much, babe.
And get hit by Conor McGregor.
Did Conor McGregor fight them?
Yeah.
Did oh, Conor McGregor.
To see today? Conor McGregor like took a swing at Machine Gun Kelly at the VMA.
I did see that, but because you were listening to Bright Eyes earlier, my brain heard it as Conor Oberst. And yeah. I was like, really? Conor Oberst got in a fight with Machine Gun Kelly. That seems out of character for him.
you said that, and I was like, wait, Machine Gun Kelly is a fighter? I thought he was one of those white guy rappers.
He is one of those white guy rappers.
Okay, yeah. I thought, because he had like some beef with Eminem. I vaguely remember this. This was when I was like producing beats for a lot of local rappers. Ooh, and so they would ask me, they'd be like, are you following Machine Gun Kelly and Eminem? And I'm like, where? Like to the store? Like, no.
Yeah, actually, that was honestly one of the best. I mean, I've never been an Eminem fan, but that's maybe the best thing Eminem has ever released is his takedown, his like diss track of Machine Gun to Kelly called Headshot. I fucking love that song.
Is that a diss track?
Kill shot,
does
I think.
Does he lose himself in the moment?
he does. In the music
control?
And the moment.
I don't know. How many times does Mom Spaghetti make an appearance? That's what's really important.
Zero.
I think zero.
But definitely talks about a Bowflex.
Okay.
And 8 Mile.
Yeah, Bowflex, 8 Mile. Haley is in it, of course.
A Nord track.
Yeah.
it's a very, very fun song.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very rarely do you get to hear someone so thoroughly destroy another rapper. Mostly
heartbreaking.
Because
the worst rapper you know made a great song.
Exactly.
Yeah, basically.
And it's really because somebody gave him a ton of ammo, because Machine Gun Kelly is just such a mediocre and bad rapper, and then just threw a whole bunch of targets in the air and was like, have fun. And then he just like did his thing.
That seems like an environment where a guy like Eminem thrives, where like someone leans into him and he's like, hey, here's a bunch of like saucy details about this guy's career. Can you just say them really fast? With like a beat behind it.
Mm-hmm. And Eminem just starts vibrating, and then his like he doesn't even have to move his mouth. He just like his body vibrates at audio frequency and then puts out a song.
That's what losing yourself means. He experiences ego death and it just operates as a conduit for white boy cringe to just emanate from his vocal chambers.
Mm-hmm. That happened to Tom McDonald. It's a very, very tragic story. He woke up one day and he just white boy cringe poured out of him and he couldn't stop it.
Yeah. Tom McDonald's one of those guys where like my brain has tried to jettison the information of knowing he exists so many times, but Facebook has made it like thoroughly impossible, because whether it's your weird cousin who is like in earnest a Tom McDonald fan,
it's
like your irony poisoned communist friends who are like, get a load of this clown.
Yeah, check this guy out.
I still have to look at his fucking face like 3 times a week.
I have never experienced somebody who earnestly thinks that he's a cool guy. Luckily.
Yeah.
I mean, I got too many white cousins from Michigan for at least a few of them not to be like, not just Tom McDonald fans, but Tom McDonald stands to bring it back around to Eminem. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I guess that was his great contribution to the vernacular of today is stan.
Is
right?
Stan. Yeah.
That's like completely. That meme where the guy from Top Gear or whatever, he's like, there it is, right on red. America's only contribution to the world.
That is a good contribution to the world.
Yeah, going right on red rules. I hate having to wait to go right.
Yeah.
So, John, you're married now, and you're also getting a new job.
I did an interview for a job this morning for some money. They're going to pay me, hopefully in USD.
not Bitcoin.
1.6 to 1.7 times what I make now and have habitually made. And basically my job is to babysit the people who have the job that I used to work. They listed it on Indeed as a ramp supervisor, but I looked up what a ramp supervisor is. Yeah, because a ramp supervisor works at an airport, right? For like a ramp.
Okay.
You understand? But they don't run the airport. A different company runs the airport. They just run a bunch of shit downtown. And they're like,
okay,
you're going to sit in a garage and then monitor some other guys in garages and in lots and make sure they have everything they need. And there's a helpline customers can call. If the dispatchers are too busy to take the call, you will have to take the call. And I'm like, okay, so I am babysitting.
Right.
And
it's like, you're babysitting.
Functionally,
and you are considered,
sure.
Yeah. And that you're considered lower management, even though your managerial duties are basically like, I'll call maintenance, I'll get in touch with a higher up manager for you. Like, it's just the stupid, it's like being a shift supervisor at Starbucks, basically. Right.
So basically your job is to go around to people in small boxes who are smoking weed and streaming Mario Kart and say, great job,
let me show
pal.
You how it's done.
I will play two rounds with you and then I have to move on to the next box.
I just noticed your gain knob's a little high. Turn that down a little bit. Oh, now perfect. That's the audio level you want. There's a car honking. Tell them to fuck off.
It might seem funny that like I moved states and I got some really nice seasonal jobs and now I'm like, well, time to get back to the old parking mines. But parking is like a weirdly great industry to work in because it's such a flimsy, like it's all predicated on one thing, which is that they have the space. You need the space. Give them money for the space. And there's not really a lot of labor that goes into that transaction 99% of the time. Mm-hmm. And so even though you're like grossly underpaid, you are kind of like grossly underpaid and also incredibly underworked.
Which
I love being underworked. What an incredible feeling. All this surplus energy that I've just got laying around that I can turn into a shit post or a joke that I'll tell later on the podcast. You know, just sitting around in a booth looking at my new wedding ring going, hey, my wife, it beats mopping a floor. Like,
yeah, that's great. Cause I like when, you know, I interface with some kind of service worker and I can tell that they were like just laughing about something stupid or like immediately go back. Like, I always like when I go, there's like a bodega across our street and sometimes like this kid who looks like he's 13 maybe is like working the counter and sometimes he's just like on his phone with his headphones in and he barely like registers that I'm buying something. He just like says how much and goes right back to like whatever he's watching on Twitch.
Yeah. He looks really young and he's always just like, all right, thanks, boss.
That's so reassuring to me though. Not the fact that he's really young, should be making those kids work. But like when you go in somewhere and the employees like clearly are barely paying attention to you, they're like, oh yeah, I'll look up from Minecraft to ring you out. Like,
yeah. That's a nice feeling.
I like that. I think, like, on its merits alone, like, that it means they're relaxed, they're not overworked, where we get to have a very casual interaction, which is good for me. But also because I know that, like, the 50-year-old dude with extreme male pattern baldness standing behind me is furious. He's, like, completely enraged, just a towering inferno. He's livid. He's like, this kid is on trying to play the Pokemon instead of selling me the Budweiser, the red edition that matters. Like,
what is happening to America?
People used to call me sir, and now they ask me if I'm a goddamn Squirtle.
He just says like pop culture ephemera from 20 years ago bouncing around in his head from the last time his grandson told him about something.
These kids don't want to learn algebra and physics. They want to watch Seinfeld. King of the Hill.
You know, that actually, now that I'm thinking about it, that'd be fun to do as a joke. Like, once I'm like, and I probably look old to some people already, but like once I'm like 45 or something, seeing like a 20 something at a restaurant and being like, what are you kids doing these days? Dyeing your hair pink and watching Friends?
Yeah, what are you guys on? Tumblr? Watching Doctor Who? I mean,
that was always a joke that I would tell when I was younger, which was that I dreamed of being an old man, and then I would do old man shit that the old men did when I was a kid. in front of kids who are like multiple generations removed from knowing what this is. Mm. So like I'd have like a pork pie hat and I'd be like, youngin, can I give you a nickel to get me a weekly paper?
Just stuff that like can't possibly exist anymore.
What's that? A tablet? Is that like a phonograph? I was listening to a nice wax cylinder this week.
It's like those kids must have felt similarly to how like if a 15-year-old today watched Aladdin and they were like trying to figure out what like references Robin Williams was making and like, who is Jack Nicholson? And they look it up and Jack Nicholson, they just see like a bloated 80-year-old man floating in the ocean.
They're like, hey,
sandwich.
That's Drill.
Yeah.
He's pretending to be Drill in this
Drill?
Scene?
But that's how Drill talks? Weird.
Oh my God, Drill is real and he was in The Shining.
There's gonna be kids who think that's so good.
Yeah, that's great.
They're like, oh man, Drill was a detective who got his nose cut off one time.
I mean, like, as you get older and pop culture gradually becomes more incomprehensible to you, which actually I have a critique of what I just said that I'll get back to later. But as that happens, you're faced with like two paths. You can either like grab a particular era and hold on to it for dear life. Like, I'm a 90s guy. I like grunge.
Oh, yeah.
I like bad television, you know, Friends, or like an 80s guy or whatever. You know, I'm sure the 2010s will have their own equivalent. Or you can just like go completely anachronistic and just no longer have any regard for what era any sensibility is from. Like, you're just wearing like a full goth raver outfit on a bird scooter at like age 85, like singing Lil Nas X as you go down the street. Like, it does not matter. Like lapsing between Lil Nas, like a vocal mashup of Lil Nas X and Bush. just going back and forth, like no
gasoline.
Regard for social boundaries
at
all.
What the fuck is that song? Breathe in.
Glycerine.
Yeah, glycerine.
Yeah. The less well-known of the Eens.
Fuck you, I will let the days go by. Like,
yeah.
But, I mean, the other thing that I want to get back to is that, like, I've always thought about, like, how nice it would be to finally be a person who's old enough that I don't have to make sense of society anymore, right? Like, I can, I still want to have, like, good historical material analysis and that stuff, but, like, culturally, just no fucking clue.
It doesn't fucking matter. Yeah.
What a relief, you know, but that's never going to happen because cultural production has completely evaporated in the United States. We don't generate new eras of fashion or anything anymore. We're just like inflating this like weird garbled mess of the last 10 decades all smashed together and not creating anything new. Like that would you date ex-boyfriend thing that was going around on Twitter.
Yeah, Bryn was just looking at that last night.
Those are tropes from over a decade ago. Those are not new.
That's how people dressed when I first moved to New York 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And they were tropes 10 years ago. They were like cliches already.
Exactly. And it's like, if we can't even produce a new hipster stereotype in over a decade, like, we have fucked up bad.
Yeah, it's just like, would you date any of the guys from Real Estate?
What like, about a guy who likes vinyl records? Ooh, what a crazy psycho. He smokes American Spirits. Ever heard of this guy?
What a sweet boy.
Would you smoke? Would you date a guy who prefers dive bars? Oh!
What if he wears a trucker hat?
Yeah, wears trucker hat, takes you to diner, pays in $2 bills.
It's going to blow your mind. But imagine a guy who thinks Family Guy is really funny and he likes playing Halo on the Xbox.
We
but
are just describing a libertarian right now. Yeah. Like, let's be real.
I guess in 2020, we're basically describing a libertarian.
Well, it's also funny because you're saying the other option is to cling specifically to the generation that you were like, you know, a teenager in.
Right.
And that's also really funny because you still see those guys sometimes and they're like late 30s, but they're still wearing like a Zelda shirt. And like they wear like a Trilby and like Dockers and they are just like still on Reddit in 2008, you know what I mean? And they'll be that way forever.
Yeah. I mean, we have a family friend who's like in his mid to late 40s and he used to live in Georgia and was kind of connected to that scene. I forget what the record label is called, but it's the one with all the Neutral Milk Hotel shit on it.
Elephant
there were a bunch
Six.
Of other Elephant Six. He was friends with a bunch of dudes who were in Elephant Six bands. Mm. And, you know, how long ago was that? He still looks 20 like a
years
dude
ago.
Who is friends with the guys in Elephant Six bands. Like,
oh, fuck, that was 30 years ago, because that was the 90s.
Yeah, his weird little goatee thing that's like part of his uniform. Yeah. It's all gray now. Mm-hmm. You
of
know,
course.
Like, and here's the thing, guys, they get to that point in their lives and they're like, I'm Mark fucking Maron. No, you're not.
I love
that.
Cats.
Would suck too.
I'm yeah. changing people's lives by being honest about depression and anxiety.
Everyone loves my acerbic wit and my dry, sarcastic comments that I make all the time.
I should start a podcast.
I am friends with Louis C.K.
Yeah.
Or I was before we had a falling out.
Me and my friends, we could have made South Park, you know? We were telling those kinds of jokes.
Like still
around
telling
that time.
It's like sitting on a plane next to a 15-year-old and you're like, you know, some of the jokes on South Park, my friends and I, we made them before the show even came out. So we could have, you know, if we were in a different position, we could have been those guys.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually a class-based criticism of South Park that we weren't on it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so many different types of person who just, like, they get older and they start chasing after this lost object of their youth. But, of course, mm-hmm. it's an imagined object, right? Because, like, when you were going through all the shit that made you retroactively like that stuff, your life probably fucking sucked. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody's like, the 90s were the best time. And it's like, you were broke. Often living in like a spare room in a friend's house. What do you mean the best time?
It's just you weren't confronted constantly with other people's oppression. You right. were like,
and then some,
at least felt some hope that there was like an aspiration to like break out of that cycle.
Yeah.
And now they probably have and have like gotten some stability and now are in some sort of like guilt spiral of like, oh, well, these people are never going to get here.
I mean, that's probably what it is some kind of displaced guilt. But the funniest ones to me are the guys who are like Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite, who's like, mm-hmm. want to see me throw this football over that mountain? Like, I have a friend from high school. I haven't been in touch with him in a long time, but he swore to me years ago that Blizzard stole his game idea that he
really?
Posted
oh,
on
no.
a forum. Yeah. And I'm like,
poor guy.
Hey, no, they did not.
I don't think so.
Impossible.
People don't research game ideas by going on old forums and then picking something from a comment.
Well, yeah. And like, also, like, I don't remember what the game idea was, but it was probably like, you go into a dungeon and there are bad guys in the dungeon. Like, you know, like generic. Yeah. Everybody's got a fucking game idea. I have a game idea where you're a chef who throws his life away and ruins all of his relationships chasing the perfect cheese sauce recipe.
That sounds good.
It sounds fun.
I'll play that game.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the end of history, mm-hmm. this week was 9/11, 20 years on.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted,
what have we learned?
You know, I wanted to talk about, you weren't online, right, John? Like, you've been taking a hiatus from everything?
I've been on Twitter on and off. But, yeah, I got back online for 9/11 because I wanted everybody to know that in memory of the tragedy, I lined up my dirty clothes hamper and my clean clothes hamper next to each other, and I knocked them over and mixed up all the laundry.
And they took little pictures of the laundry beforehand, and you made posters, and were like, have you seen this shirt? Anyone seen my lost sock?
Never forget this.
This
sock.
This is my own personal 9/11.
This
now
is
I
my 9/11.
Two loads of laundry.
I'm gonna have to wash the clean clothes again because I forget which ones were clean and they all kind of smell the same because they got mixed together. So I guess I'll just wash them again.
Yeah. I mean, everybody, what I enjoyed, but I also felt was kind of falling flat after a while. Is everyone's like, did you know as many people as died in 9/11 basically died yesterday because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that is a brain breaking fact, but I think it loses its power by being so brain breaking, because if you're the kind of person who cares about that, you've probably already thought about it. And
yeah. I've been thinking about it for the past 2 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're not, you've willfully shut it out of your brain already and are just not going to engage with that information.
Right.
But like, honestly, I think people care about 9/11 because it was property damage. You know,
that's exactly correct.
It wasn't
correct.
Really the lives lost. It was the buildings. They're like, well, oh my God, the buildings. New York skyline. My precious skyline.
I mean, honestly, I think people care a lot more about 9/11 than anything else because they were told to.
Yeah, it's like a great example of propaganda, in effect.
I think so. I mean, I think that if there was just a sense of like, well, that happened and then there was no war, it would just been like a sad thing that happened. I don't know. I mean, my personal belief about it is that it was orchestrated, obviously, or at the very least known about and planned around once it was known about, and not right. stopped. I feel like even if you are a big skeptic, you cannot, really argue against that there was a lot of planning for something like this happening, and what would have happened, that what would happen in the future was sort of already in the pocket,
right,
because of it. So my personal feeling is that the reason you care about it so much is not just because it was so physically obvious and like all at one time, but also because it was designed that way.
It was meant to be confusing, and it was meant to have like a few loose ends. I mean, I personally got an Xbox Live notification the day before that said to stand down, and that has never been explained.
Yeah, that's really crazy. I'm surprised they told you not to be there, which you were planning on being there, obviously.
the terrorists and the U.S. government took one look at me, aged 10, and were like, he's cool.
Yeah, don't,
he's
don't
always
go to
been
New
nice
York.
To us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't go to New York tomorrow. You're cool.
You were like, okay, I'm not going to fly all the way to New York from Michigan, I guess.
Yeah. Stick with the plan of not going to New York until at least a decade has passed.
Yeah, I actually hadn't gone to New York until 9/11 happened. And I remember it was like still fucked up, and like Ground Zero was still like marked off. Mm-hmm. I guess that must have been right after. Must have been like 2002 or 2003.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the first time I ever went to New York was for a Square Pusher concert, and it was right after Hurricane Sandy. And when I got there, the sun had already set, and half of the city's skyline didn't have power. And I was like,
oh, wait, you were there.
9/11
during-
did this.
Wow, this is just like 9/11.
I mean, it was literally like 3 or 4 days after the hurricane, and we had bought tickets like way in advance, and they were expensive. So we're like, we're going. We all asked off for work and everything. And we kept following up, like, does the venue have power? Does the venue have power? And they had power. So we went. And I got harassed by the police while I was in New York, too. Fun New York experience. Yeah.
Yeah, for what?
For looking like you smoked tons of weed, maybe?
Yeah. Me and my friend were walking back to our hotel from a convenience store where we had bought a six-pack of beer, and the cops followed us into the hotel and pulled us out of the elevator and made us stand against the wall. And they were like, you look like some people who robbed this woman around the corner from that store you said you were at. And we were like, what? And then they drove a van by, and I saw a woman like peeking out of the back of the van. And then the guy gets like, you know, his little pig radio goes off, and it's like, it wasn't them. And he's like, all right, you're free to go, I guess. And I was like, okay. Like, I don't, I literally just bought a six pack of Red Stripe. I thought this was America.
I thought I had rights.
I thought the terrorists didn't win. Apparently they actually did, sir.
Yeah, terrorists are now sneaking explosives into this country disguised as tiny little bottles of Red Stripe.
That sentiment always reminds me of Beavis and Butthead Do America, where the neighbor is always like, I love this country, everything is made for me, and then like when one thing goes wrong, he gets like strip searched and beaten by the cops. That movie's so good.
That's a great movie.
That shit was lost on me when I was watching Beavis and Butthead back in the day. I was not a class conscious Judge fan. Mm-hmm. The enlightened Mike Judge fans out here.
Yeah, Mike Judge is a weird guy because it's never clear exactly where he stands. Mm-hmm. Seems like he's sort of, you know, not a right winger, I suppose, but
He has a very like Gen X, like fuck the system, man.
Kind of a
vibe, but it's like a sort of informed and like measured version of that.
Yeah, he seems like a pretty smart guy, and like more than anything, just a committed like cynic. Like very cynical of any system or any kind of presupposition about society. Mm-hmm. And he has a knack for making it show through the mundane, you know? Sartre would be proud. You got to use concrete examples, you know? Yeah. That's 101 shit.
Every Mike Judge movie is No Exit, basically.
Yeah, I guess so.
In a lot of ways, waiting for Boomhauer. Like.
In a lot of ways, Office Space is like No Exit.
Yeah. It's like
hell is other people.
It's like Hui Klo, you know, if you want to get a little French with it.
Is it like that?
That's the French title.
The dispute between the producers and the staff on King of the Hill several years ago is reminiscent of the split between Sartre and Camus over the USSR.
It is like that.
It's pretty similar.
But yeah, so most people's reaction to the 20-year anniversary of 9/11 was mostly to sort of mock what has happened in the past 20 years and see like it sort of responsible for, I guess, a lot of where we find ourselves now.
There was a lot of good like pushback against the couple of last years where they've been trying to rehabilitate Bush. So I think that's really good. And also, like, even death toll relativism aside, the whole COVID situation made it way too easy on us to mock 9/11 when that cartoon of the arms with the syringes as planes getting crashed into as the Twin Towers made rounds. Like, I'm sorry, the jokes wrote themselves at that point. Twitter is just a machine, and garbage in, garbage out, I'm afraid.
That one, I believe, was drawn in jest. I'm not sure.
Even better.
Though.
It's hard
Even
to say.
Even better.
Yeah.
That gives me more hope for humanity, but I'm ready to handle the cultural output either way.
Yeah. But it was an interesting thing to see a lot of people really kind of not give a shit about 9/11 or think of it more as something of the opening salvo of the horrible things that America would have done for the next 20 years. And especially because just this month, we have been talking about Joe Biden removing us from Afghanistan.
Yeah, I feel like now that it's 9/11, I'm like, I wonder if he did that because he didn't want the bad press of like still being in Afghanistan 20 years after 9/11. It's kind of
the
like calculus, lining up a little bit.
The calculus there, and other people had said this, like this is an entirely new thing, but I think the calculus there was, I don't want the 20th anniversary of 9/11 to come around and we're still in Afghanistan.
Yeah, like, he's trying to like rip the Band-Aid off because it's like people are mad at him. You know, it's like we're a country full of like blood-crazed psychopaths. So they're like, finish the job. 20 years wasn't enough.
There's some millennial cultural intern at the White House who's like, Mr. President Biden, sir, I'm sorry, but we just can't risk a YouTube video where Tom Scott says, I'm here at the airport in Kabul, like where the U.S. military has been for 20 years. Like that's, we just can't risk it. You know, millions of people watch his videos. Many of them even like and subscribe.
Many are liking and subscribing.
Sir, your internet statistics, you're just not measuring up to previous presidents such as Trump and Obama. And frankly, you're not even measuring up to the popular YouTube channel, The Game Theorists. So we're going to have to step up our game and our game theory in the White House this year.
That'd be funny if the president had to start chasing like Twitch trends. Like Joe Biden just has some weird cat ears on and it's like shilling raid Shadow Legends from the White House.
Hello, I'm President Joe Biden, and this is the secrets of Minecraft lore you may not have considered.
And before we begin, this video is sponsored by the Gamer Poppers. It's a nice alternative to energy drinks. You just sniff them. Wow, Jack! Oh man, it's good stuff.
This video is sponsored by Rico. it's headphones for the inside your ears.
Use code GoJo for 20% off.
So first, first, First secret we're going to get into is Hero Brian. Hero Brian is, he's like you, but scary.
Now, Kamala, who is your favorite villain in Minecraft? Hero Brian.
I saw Hero Brian in a random seed once, and I told him, look, Jack. Notch said he never even put you in the game.
Out of here.
You don't even really exist.
It's not real. It's just dementia. It's just your brain. You're playing tricks on you.
Yeah, like a future song.
We put the President Joe Biden in Fortnite. I mean, like, that's here's my thing. The last two presidents, Barack Obama and Donald Trump, they could have been in Fortnite. It would have made sense. If Epic Games had been like, we're putting Obama and Trump in Fortnite, I would have been like, weird, but on the level with how America has been going.
Sure.
But if they put Joe Biden in Fortnite, I would be like, look here, Jack. You
know? I want to see him with his aviator glasses and an ice cream cone somehow in his mouth while he's also doing the floss dance.
That's just not good horse sense. I can't imagine Joe Biden being like, I got you covered. Oh, I see a llama. I'm going to go for the llama.
It is weird to imagine Donald Trump's body moving in any kind of like active way, like doing that little Fortnite run they do, or like the jump when he's like building the panels or whatever.
Yeah.
It would have to be his little dance doing the like SpongeBob dance.
Oh, yeah. The pointing dance. Yeah.
Well, he would be like a SpongeBob character where when he's animated from behind, it's all about the juicy dumper, right?
Yeah.
Like there's nothing else really going on. But hey, that raises an interesting question. Have we ever seen Donald Trump run? Not once, right?
No, never.
He never shuffles fast than a slow walk. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's mentioned that too. A while ago, he has this like theory that your body only has a finite amount of like energy it can expend. And if you exercise too much, you're like draining that energy. He like told a friend who was running a marathon, like, you shouldn't do that. You're going to use up all of your energy and you're going to die young. Which is a great way of thinking about thermodynamics and the human body, I gotta say.
Yeah, did you
Donald
see
Donald Trump in a room with like a bunch of like Silicon Valley like tech bros and financiers, and he's like, look, the human body is basically a lithium ion battery. It just runs out. You rust out after a while.
Don't use it too fast.
All right. Who wants a McDonald's chicken nugget?
You're just tossing it into their mouths like they're seals.
Did you see the Martin Luther King I Have a Dream event in Fortnite?
And they
didn't disable the dances, so people were just like hitting the Dougie in front of the videos and stuff, in front of the Capitol.
A big part of the headline that I saw was that they didn't disable the whip crack emote.
They did not do that. No, I saw that too.
Because it was some kind of like promotional tie-in for like Wonder Woman, or I forget what it was, Indiana Jones or some shit. But it was like something that couldn't be disabled quickly in time by the developers, so it just got left in. And yeah, that, I mean, it's just a recipe for disaster.
I'm assuming it was used racistly.
How else could it have been used in this situation? But then it's like, yeah, maybe just don't try and celebrate really serious political figures from American history in Fortnite.
Yeah, maybe Fortnite, it doesn't have to be a venue where we talk about that at all. Maybe it can just be a game. Is that like not how it works anymore?
Yeah. I can't wait to see Base Nectar and Harriet Tubman in a one-time special Fortnite event.
Want to see Harriet Tubman do that fucking floss dance.
Dead Mouse and freedom. Frederick Douglass this weekend. Who's coming?
It's like someone doing a Frederick Douglass impression, like reading an audiobook, and then a fucking huge fat bass line drops in.
I mean, that's basically just like, who's that DJ who can't stop commenting on social events?
And David Guetta?
David Guetta. Yeah. I feel like...
Shout out to his family!
I hate laughing at that, but honestly, David Guetta, it's too funny. That dude is on another planet of understanding the world, and it's they have not received news very well
it's
in a long time.
Scandinavia. Yeah.
Scandinavia's got a bad connection to the political events of the world.
Yeah, like, they're just like...
Their ping is way too high.
Yeah. Yeah, the fact that you can tell he's like being sincere. He thinks the thing to say to the family of someone who was murdered was, shout out to you guys.
Shout out to
and
y'all.
And then let's play the sample of Martin Luther King that I've got queued up on my DJ setup.
Sorry, he's right. French.
That explains French. It too.
Okay. Still, even worse internet connections because they're always on strike.
Mm-hmm. Oh. The French DJs. Oh, it's better than everywhere. For the cluelessness.
I love French DJs. Mr. Oizo, one of the best to have ever done.
Oh, yeah. Incredible. Fantastic guy.
Daft Punk or French? Yeah, they know how to do it.
Sebastian Kavinsky, Daft
Punk,
I think.
I mean, I think Daft Punk are on the French flag at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, the French flag is just the helmets.
The helmets. So Macron can't be on there. Everyone hates that guy.
Why would they put him on there?
Yeah, I don't know. That'd be weird if you just change your flag every time you had a new leader. Like the flag was just Joe Biden's face right now.
Daft Punk pulls off their helmets and one of them is Macron and the other one is Le Pen. And French people everywhere are like, my God, they really are two heads of the same party.
Now, would that make France unite in harmony or would it lead to like 100 days of bloody warfare and fire in the streets?
Yeah, I got to assume the latter.
Probably.
I mean, it would lead to at least one guy on Twitter being like, I thought it was fraternity, égalité, and liberté, not austerité.
That's the Hank Hill of France.
My God, I thought this was France.
Now, my boys, you are not making the music better. You are just making the politics worse.
So what else has happened since we've been gone? Did we actually ever leave Afghanistan? Is there any confirmation that that happened?
Well, I mean, did certain branches of the military leave Afghanistan? Yeah, in a tactically like foolish way so that they could justify returning. But did the CIA ever leave Afghanistan? Not a goddamn chance.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, I think we were saying this a bit when you were gone. I don't actually remember what we talked about. But my sense is that, like, even if every single American troop left, and it seems like they did, like the Taliban has taken over Kabul and, you know, a lot of the quote unquote democratic liberal democracy institutions that we quote unquote set up or propped up are falling to their rule. Or at least that's what the news is reporting. Mm-hmm. Even if all of that is true, like, did anyone ever say that like Eric Prince's like PMC are not there? Like, is that,
yeah, I haven't heard about that.
Has anybody said like private military contractors of the CIA and the even the American state, are those gone? We don't know.
I'm sure they're not. Like, there's got to be,
and we won't know for a long time.
There's got to be at least a handful of like fucking oil executives who are just hanging around in Afghanistan. Like, you watch and wait. The military will come back. Like,
right. Well, I'm also, you know, it's probably that like Pfizer or whatever, like drug companies that are running the world, like are like still there being like, well, there's still opium here. We got to get it somehow. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's not like the interest in ruling that area has completely gone away for every private company. As a matter of fact, there was lots of private companies that wanted them to stay.
Well,
and there was a lot
scrambling
of backlash against Joe Biden for even suggesting that we leave. Even,
yeah, I mean, everybody's scrambling for the lithium that they're saying is there now. So now Afghanistan is a place that has poppy production, lithium, and oil. You think the United States isn't involved somehow? That
seems
like statistically impossible.
I mean, we've been there for 20 years. I mean, it's not like, I don't think usually when we leave a place like that, if we ever do, which we often don't, it's usually because there's nothing left. In this case, I don't think that was the case.
Once we've mined all of the Funko Pops buried in the region, we're just out of there.
Yeah. We're down to the bottom of the barrel and it's fucking like Mork from Mork and Mindy. We're like, we don't need any of these. Yeah.
But there's still a lot of Funko Pops in Afghanistan. There's primo shit. There's like Simpsons Funko Pops or a first run, first edition Family Guy Funko Pops, original Brian with the fucked up nose.
I don't know if you're joking.
And of course,
about
you got
these
some
Funko Pops.
You got some that have been destroyed and can't be used again, so you got to put them carefully back in the box and wrap it in an American flag and like bring it back and, you know, have like there's a picture of a Funko Pop collector crying next to the box because he's so devastated at the sacrifice that those Funko Pops made.
Mm-hmm. Joe Biden addressing the nation like, I know I pulled us out of Afghanistan, but the generals have informed me that the Taliban has taken control of the last mint inbox Beanie Baby left in existence.
And
the
America
whole press corps stands up and starts clapping.
Oh, got to get that rare ferret with the gold ear tag.
America needs this. We need a win.
We needed this win of the Beanie Baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To boost domestic morale in this time of wartime austerity, the White House has promised to launch an unboxing channel. I don't even know what president I'm trying to do an impression of anymore. Like, doing Trump impressions for 4 years burned me out. I don't want to learn Biden. It's not fun to do. So I'm just doing like generic president voice. Like if I was on the West Wing, I'd be like,
yeah,
citizens
yeah.
of America. Like, it's a little Reagan. It's a little Nixon. Like,
it's also sort of like Edward R. Murrow. Mm. Just like old guys who talk that way.
Yeah.
Do you want to play like, chess in the park later?
Yeah, yeah, those kind of guys. That's like the Joe Biden as president vibe. It's like, what if the president was just kind of a non-entity? He's like wallpaper president. Just like, yeah. Whatever mm-hmm. imagination you have about like a wise old man president, like they want you to think that, and they're trying to keep Joe Biden like out of the public eye as much as possible. I feel like,
yeah, you
they
know,
don't want
it's
a meme president.
They made a show while Trump was in office making fun of him specifically, and mm-hmm. it was like baby president or something.
Well, they had one that was called the President Show, I think, right? Like there was a guy who would like did an impression of him.
Right. And then when Bush was president, they did that as well. They had, was mm-hmm. it Baby Bush or whatever
I think
it was?
That's my Bush.
Yeah, there's my that's Bush my, or that's my oh, Bush yeah. or something.
That was Matt and Trey.
I think so. I think, didn't it get canceled after 9/11? They were like, we can't keep doing this.
That's right.
This is too far.
We can't criticize the guy who did 9/11 because 9/11 was too much of a tragedy.
You know what's really funny? Like, well, I've said before, and I will continue to say that Team America is one of the funniest movies ever made.
I like Basketball personally.
Basketball is also very funny, but it's really interesting how it does not criticize any American politician. And it's like,
right.
there's a sort of structural critique where it's like, clearly we don't need to be they're saying we don't actually have to be everywhere all over. Like the whole concept of like the world police is like the joke of it. And yeah, it's like, yeah. What if, you know, this sort of like over the top patriotism is goofy, but like, the end of the movie is sort of like, but sometimes we actually do need to do that.
Yeah, which is so fucking stupid.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and it's all like, the whole like team on Team America World Police is modeled after like NCIS, Law and Order SVU yeah. type like police procedural squads. And then it's like critiquing that. But then at the end, it does the exact same ideological backflip into yep. popular American dogma that those mm-hmm. shows do.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which is like, well, sometimes you have to, though. Sometimes they don't leave you any choice.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is just so lame. Yeah. But it's weird that like there is a criticism there. I mean, it's not a very good criticism, but it also features real celebrities, real foreign leaders, like Hans Blix and Kim Jong Il at the time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But no American leaders. Like
right.
they're so afraid of like actually being
oh
like,
yeah, it's not actually President yeah. Bush.
There's no George Bush.
Right? Yeah.
I don't think they even show a president.
The furthest up that they felt they could punch was Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
our real leaders.
Yeah, it's funny because there's like some people who are like, well, you know, conservatives are never funny. And there's like every good comedian or writer or whatever is a liberal. But it's like the
who
South,
says that?
I don't know. Idiots who think that like
the Daily Show is the pinnacle of comedy.
Comedy.
Well, that's the funny thing. People are like, conservatives aren't even funny. And I'm like, Stephen Colbert is a conservative.
Yeah.
Say what you will about like the content of his patter, he's good at patter. He knows how to do cute little twists and turns over the course of a few sentences to make you laugh. Like, he's good at that. People think
oh, yeah.
also, I think people think that like comedy is something that you can only do when you're right.
Yeah.
Which is so wrong. Comedy is often much easier to do about something you don't know anything about.
Because
you can just be wrong all over the place and do this like fun little affirmation loop off in nonsense space. But like when you're trying to be funny and talk about something you really care about, shout out to this show, it's really fucking hard.
It's so hard.
You have to put a lot of energy into your thoughts, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult. And, you know, it's funny because the people who are often people I agree with the most are usually the least funny because they're talking about stuff that really sucks. and it's difficult to make jokes about. I'm thinking, I mean, Bill Hicks wasn't, you know, a communist or, you know, very far left as far as I can tell, but he was anti-war and anti-imperialist and seemingly fairly anti-capitalist. And he's just like, looking back is very unfunny. Like, it's kind of entertaining to watch. And he's got bits that I find funny, but like, he was mostly like a sort of political, like, he was like the beginning of Clapter, I think, like, sort of like with George Carlin.
I was gonna say George Carlin too. Like, you go back and listen, and you're like, this is like pretty true when you say like, oh, it's called the American Dream because you have to be asleep to believe it, but it's like,
right,
that's not really like a rip-roaring punchline. I'm not like,
yeah, I'm not like, wow,
oh, man, you gotta be asleep. I'm like, huh, yeah, you do. Interesting.
I mean, that's the thing is like, they were funny, but they were like trying to do that comedian as philosopher kind of like bit, which is good. Like, I think if you do it well, and Bill Hicks did it well, and until he was very old, George Carlin seemed to do it pretty well as well.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it also puts you in this weird space. They were talking about this on Why Theory, where like philosophers and comedians both kind of occupy that space where you don't get to separate the art from the artist very much, because the art is also like their opinions and their behavior.
Yeah.
Is like directly feeds into the content of their work. It's not like a painter where they're like, you enjoyed one of Hitler's paintings, do you feel bad? And it's like, well, let's be real. That is just a painting of a house. Like, it was painted by a horrible monster, but it's just a landscape. It's
and
a
you
still
really
life,
have
you know?
To like you really have to make a stretch of like,
right,
this is a Volkish landscape.
Mm-hmm. Look at the fascist bush right here.
It's not the same thing as you just laughed at one of Hitler's jokes. Like, that would be totally different. Like,
Hitler's joke. It was just about a one-legged dog. I didn't mean to laugh. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's like very, very, it's very difficult to like make jokes that don't align with your ideology. Right.
Well, I think also like in humor, people will accidentally reveal their ideology better than they could ever articulate it when they're trying to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think you really get a peek into like what's really going on in people's minds and what's like feeding in and out of their brains when they like reveal to you something that they think is very funny.
Right.
Yeah. Especially in a sort of in their like sort of setup where they're like, well, we all know this. And then it's like,
yeah,
do we know that? Or is that something you think?
There's a ton of assumptions being made in comedy.
Mm. Right. Which like, is like, I do an entirely 90s kid based stand-up routine, so I'm assuming you've seen the Danimals commercials. I'm assuming you've seen Sonic X. I'm assuming you've seen multiple versions of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You've traded Pokemon and Magic cards. You know, like, a lot of cultural assumptions, political assumptions.
You know what Nick Arcade is. Mm-hmm. You know what Guts is. You've consumed all of the same things.
You've seen the aggro
crag. You've played with
before.
A Bop It. You've played with
a Skip It.
Mm-hmm. You know what a Bop It Extreme is and why it's different and why it's even more impressive to have won that one than a regular Bop It.
That's right.
And I did it, and I'm good at it.
Who, you?
No, you did.
I didn't say
that. Oh, I did a special Bop It that was much harder, but it was only produced in Canada. You wouldn't know about
You've never heard of it.
Yeah, I only had it for a summer because my cousin was visiting, and I played his, and I actually got the highest score on it, but then he took it back, so I can't show it to you, but that was pretty good.
His dad's actually the uncle that works at Nintendo.
Just in case my uncle works at Nintendo for sure.
I mean, that was like one of the funniest tweets of the whole pandemic was when people were like, my neighbor just died from the vaccine. And somebody quote tweets it and they're like, Nintendo hemorrhaging employees right now.
I really want to do, and I should do this before it gets too late to do it. One of the things about the pandemic is there was at least three videos I saw of white women pretending to be having a constant seizure that they could talk through.
Oh, those are so good, where they're just like, this is the results of the vaccine.
They're shaking yeah. like this, and they're just like, I just got the vaccine and I'm dying.
They look like Elaine from Seinfeld trying to dance.
Yeah, exactly. That is so insane because no one believes you.
No, like that's not incredible. A thing that
it's not a thing that happens. That if that had started happening, you would be in the hospital.
Yes.
If you're having a seizure. There's no just like I have random movements disease.
There like, was what a, is, the, it strikes me as the same thing as like, did you know that in the 1400s a whole town in Germany started dancing until some of them died and they couldn't stop dancing? They just danced forever until they passed out and died. And it's like, yeah, did you know an Australian woman woke up with an Irish accent? All that shit is fake. It's attention-seeking behavior. It's yeah. It's just like, oh, you wanted to have a viral video and congratulations, fuckwit, you got one.
Like, but I want to interview all those people and be like, so how do you feel now?
I thought you were going to say you wanted to make one where you were like, I smoked weed and this is what happened.
No.
Those people, I don't know how I could even have a conversation with them because I would just open up. I'd be like, all right, so just stop doing that for a second.
Well, they're not doing it now. Like, that's the thing, is that there's no fucking way they're doing it now. Or else they'd constantly be doing, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's so like over. To the bit that you're like Googling how to make yourself shake like you're having a seizure while asleep to commit to a bit.
And they almost certainly didn't get the vaccine.
Yeah. How does Michael J. Fox pretend he has Parkinson's 24/7?
Yeah, it's like I got the vaccine. I immediately got late stage Parkinson's.
That's an excellent point, Bryn. I don't believe for a second that any of those people got the vaccine.
No, if they were so scared to make a fucking like, this is what happens, Vax, you know, like they didn't get it.
Mm, they probably got COVID.
Yeah, they're probably dead from COVID, which is not funny.
It's not funny.
That's not funny at all. Yeah.
But now we're interviewing a man who says the vaccine made his dick work again, which is funny.
That is funny.
That's hilarious. His wife is like, well, whatever works. I'm glad he got the vaccine, I guess.
Okay, one more thing to talk about. John was right about Nathan J. Robinson.
Oh, yeah! It's been a minute. I actually got to talk about this on Work Stoppage, which I didn't take as long of a break from because that show needs me more than you guys. But,
really? Oh, I see.
I see how it is.
No, I was completely and unequivocally right about Nathan J. Robinson, and I would like to take this opportunity to thank everyone, including the losers and the haters, who doubted me. Even though I have been consistently right about almost every major public figure that I've ever suspected of being a piece of shit, and you should consistently listen to me when I say these things. But yes, Nathan J. Robinson did something that shocked even me, and you already know what it is. You listen to this show, but
well,
like,
it's been a bit. Did we mention this?
We talked about it like the day it happened. Yeah, it was such a fucking shocker on the Twitter leftosphere.
Yeah, he fired everybody because they were trying to turn the business into a cooperative. And of course, Lyta Gold, you know, broke the news to everybody on Twitter. Lyta Gold fired for doing socialism. New handle. And yeah, I mean, it's just in something that shocks only. I don't know who was running around believing Nathan J. Robinson's shtick. Like, I don't want to like talk smack on the current affairs staff. They do good work and stuff, and they were trying their best to do a really good thing. But like, I don't know. It feels so obvious. Like when Nathan J. Robinson appeared in the left media verse, it was like a villain made their entrance in a TV show. I'm like, that bush is a different color than the background.
Yeah, it's gonna come alive.
Yeah, this guy's wearing a purple 3-piece suit for no reason. You know who does that? It's the Joker.
The Joker does that. What are we talking about? Yeah, you know, it's funny because I gave that magazine a shot when it came out, and I recall reading it, which I feel like anybody who actually liked or followed those people on Twitter maybe never did.
Right.
It doesn't feel like...
A lot of the being a journalist now means being a poster as much as actually writing articles.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm sorry, but I feel like you guys don't read. Like, I feel like lots of people are just not like very interested or accustomed. And it's like not your fault exactly. But, you know, it feels like a lot of people aren't actually reading. But in the very first issue of Current Affairs, there is a 3-4 page article about how Lenin wasn't actually very good. and I don't, I've never heard anybody talk about it, but that's like in it, and it's written by Nathan J. Robinson. And I was like, what the fuck is this bullshit? And there was like other good stuff in the magazine. I didn't immediately cancel my subscription, but I was like, I thought this was supposed to be a socialist magazine. Why are we doing this fucking, like, well, you know, the Soviet Union wasn't perfect right off the bat. Like, why? Right. What's the point? Right.
I feel like sometimes he did even more than say, like, wasn't perfect. He was like, I don't want my socialism associated with authoritarian states like the Soviet Union. Like, the guy's an anti-communist, basically.
Literally. Yeah,
definitely. Exactly what he is. I mean, I get it. A lot of people that are more like anarchist or whatever kind of liked that magazine, and they were like, it says some interesting things. This appeals to me as a less authoritarian communism. And like years ago, I thought that was a good thing. But now I'm just like ready to like yell at anybody who comes around saying that shit, because I'm like, okay, you really want to do anarchism? It's not going to be like a cute little adjacent to social democracy thing with elections and stuff. Anarchism means guns. Anarchism means like shooting people, shooting the bourgeoisie. Are you ready to do that?
Yeah, in the face.
Yeah. It means hiding out in the woods in a little like tent or something.
Yeah. So that whole deal, I mean, Bryn, when you said like you read Current Affairs and you immediately were like suspicious of it, I felt the same way when I finally read a Jacobin article. I had heard so many good things about Jacobin, and then I finally read Jacobin and I was like, this is dog shit.
Yeah, who are like, these people? These people are the people who are saying like, oh, this is the state of the American left or whatever. It's like, these people are fucking fascists. Like, I can't, if you are like anti-America but pro-capitalism, like, I don't support you.
Yeah, fuck that. Or if you're anti-capitalist and pro-America, I don't support that shit either.
Yeah, you gotta also be whack. You really gotta be both.
You gotta be two for two.
Yeah, I feel like Jacobin even more so, but also Current Affairs were things that are very much relics of like Bernie Sanders being a relevant figure in American leftism, quote unquote. And like, because like, I think that when Current Affairs was at its best was when Nathan J. Robinson was like making a sort of like case to liberals about social democracy and or socialism, depending on what you want to call it, like just explaining like morally like why the state should give people free food or free healthcare or whatever. And like, you know, he wasn't super informed, I mean, as by, like, theory, but it was like he wrote stuff that would be great to show to someone who was like a liberal who read NPR, you know what I mean? Like, because it's very if you read NPR and the New York Times, it would be very readable and would make an argument that was not really like wonky at all, just be like, here's why that's a sort of immoral stance and could convince people. But it's like, kind of moved on from that era.
That's an excellent point. And it's like, there's this weird double-edged sword where if you start to tailor things to be too nice and readable for NPR and MSNBC reading like liberals, pretty soon your fucking like magazine or your organization or whatever is gonna just start being something that revolves around the liberalosphere.
Yes, exactly.
And that's terrible. But then also, if you only like release your brain blisteringly complex and amazing Marxist theory, anarchist theory, whatever, in like zines with piss stains on them, you're not gonna fucking reach anybody.
Right.
So, or you're just going to reach a bunch of punks who already agree with you. So there's got to be like a third option. There's got to be like a pamphlet.
Like a thing nice you could you could like a thing you could like get into a lot of people's directly to their phones for free. And if they wanted to support you online, then they could go to a place like patreon.com/bbbletus.
That's interesting.
Yeah, maybe it's like, you know, out of one side of their mouth they're expelling weed smoke and like a dick joke, but then it's like when they get the weed smoke out, then they're suddenly talking about something really serious and you're like, oh, did I just get tricked into listening to a dry lecture on communism, but it went down oh so smooth. It went maybe something
very
like that.
Smooth.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It'd be cool if that existed.
Yeah, that'd be neat.
Well, if anybody knows of a program or a website that provides any kind of service like that, please send it to our podcast, Beep Beep Lettuce.
Maybe like a web zone.
Go to patreon.com/beep beep lettuce and send us a DM about something like that.
Yeah.
If anybody has like a really good GeoCities website with some rotating flaming skull GIFs on it, they could send that my way. If anybody knows a really good like historical materialist You the Man Now Dog, I'd love to see it.
You're the subject of history now, dog.
You're the subject of history now, dog.
That's what it says.
All right. Well, there's so much more to say, but we're going to have to save it for the bonus, which will come out this weekend, as it usually does from now on. But until then, this has been BB Bletus. Sorry for the long hiatus. We've all had a lot of stuff going on. But thanks for continuing to be a Patreon subscriber. You know, follow us at Weed Pod, and we'll see you next time.
Keep beeping out there.
Goodbye.
Bye, folks.
My wife.
Hey.
Mazel tov.
Hey, Dada.
He doesn't care about your baggy sweats
or your apple bottom.
Come on, Shawty.